always say to people that you have to educate yourself. You know, you have to get educated and continue your education and surround yourself with people that you can grow from as well. Like, I hire people that they're not only, learning from me, I'm learning from them as well. You know, I like to hire people that I can pour into, but I'm also getting something in return from them too. I always learn, you know, from my teams. So I'm always excited about that. And I like to tell people to just be open, stay open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lip trio that I have called The Evolution of Rouge, really, I was inspired while doing the color purple.
Okay.
In terms of coming up with those reds for this collection, even though it has nothing to do with the color purple, I really got inspired when I was working on that movie because I had to try and figure out what reds to put on, like my main character that I had to do. So I spent so many days mixing reds, trying to come up with the right red to make sure that none of the ladies had on the same red. So,
wow,
that's how this launch, you know, that's how this lipstick trio, The Evolution of Rouge, came about. So I was really inspired while doing the movie to come up with that. I felt like that's been one of the most positive things, is having cultivated the right team of people that want to see me win as much as I want to see myself win.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I am so excited, y'all, because I have Carol Rashid here. She is an Emmy-nominated makeup artist, a 30-year TV and film industry veteran, an educator, the CEO of Carol Rashid Beauty, and recently the makeup department head for the Color Purple movie. So welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Carol.
Thank you, Akia. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Happy to be here. I really am.
I am so happy to have you because I've been following you for a long time on Instagram. So, you know, when you follow people on Instagram, you feel like you know them already, but we have never met before. This is our first, like, you know, face-to-face interaction. So I'm really excited to have you here and just to dive into everything that you do. You're doing a lot right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Well, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to see all that you're doing too. I'm inspired.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Before we get into all the fun stuff, the conversation, we're going to start off with some icebreakers to get us warmed up and so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of beauty.
Okay.
So the first one, just give us three random facts about you.
Three random facts. I love people. I love good food. And another fact that, you know, a lot of people don't know is that I was a teen mother.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you had your first child?
I was 16. I was 15 when I got pregnant and 16 when I birthed my first child.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. I know a lot of teen moms. And
I think it's pretty common now, but I guess 30 something years ago, it was probably common too then, but people just didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a shameful thing, you know, but now it's pretty common.
Yeah. And so many that go on to become so successful. I know a lot of people have like a stigma and they think that teen moms aren't going to amount to much success, but all the ones that I know, they're like very successful women.
There you go. It's something, I think that's something to inspire, you know, because sometimes people do look down on you and then, you know, you just have to have the heart to just keep moving. And lucky me, I guess that's the kind of heart that I have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You say you love people. Would you consider yourself an extrovert?
I think I'm more of an introvert, but once I start, you know, communicating with people, I open up, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm a little bit, I know it's probably hard for people to believe, but I'm a little bit shy. But like I said, once I get engaged or engage people, then it's like I become an extrovert, an extrovert. So, but I think normally, like, it's kind of be hard for me to just go up to somebody and just start talking, you know. However, you know, when people come over and say something to me, it's quite easy for me to communicate.
Okay. I like that. So next one, if there was a movie that was going to be made about your life, what genre would it be? And like, who would you want to play you in the movie?
Ooh, wow. That's really a good one. If there was a movie that was going to be made about my life, who would I want to play me? Probably, what genre would it be? I think that it would be probably maybe a drama that turns into an empowering thing at the end. Mm-hmm. And probably Kiki Palmer is who I'd want to play me. I love Kiki.
Me too. I love me some Kiki Palmer.
Yeah, I love her, and I just love how she's so flexible. You know, she's this way, and I've watched her grow up over the years.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten to work with her?
You know what? I've never worked with Kiki before personally doing her makeup. However, I did the TV movie, the TLC movie.
Uh-huh.
And of course I got a chance to meet Kiki, but I didn't actually do her makeup. I assigned her makeup to somebody else doing her, but I just love her, and, you know, love her family and yeah. So I've never personally worked on her, but of course I've met her.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. Okay. Ooh, I'm so excited. Okay. So I have these things called pod decks that have like these random, sometimes crazy questions in them. Oh. This is a what the heck and a would you rather. Which one do you want?
Let's see. What about would you rather?
Would you rather? Please don't give Carol a crazy card. Let it be cute. Okay. Because we don't want to scare her away. Let's see. I think I had this one before. This is interesting. Let me see. Okay. Would you rather be handcuffed to the most annoying person you know for 24 hours or go camping with someone who likes you, but you don't like them back?
Oh, wow.
Like romantically like.
I think I'd rather be handcuffed to somebody, because at least if I'm handcuffed, it gives me an opportunity to try and figure out if I don't or do really like the person. I think sometimes when you can talk to the person and kind of communicate, I think that there's always a place where you can find a happy grounding between mm-hmm. two people.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully yeah. They're not that annoying that it's just like, I can't even do this.
Well, I think I'd rather be handcuffed with them, you know, for sure. It forces you to kind of communicate and, mm-hmm. you know, and try and figure out, you know, with the two of you in that same situation, yeah. how you can get around it.
I like that answer. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
People always tell me that I'm good at helping them to feel comfortable. You know, I have people say that to me all the time, you know, and they start telling me their life story or they, you know, and I think that's something that's kind of normal in our line of work. You know, yeah. People can get comfortable with me really fast. Yeah. So I'm able to get their defenses down.
Yeah. I feel like that's
without
like
even knowing that.
Yeah. It's like an unspoken characteristic or something that we all have that people just spill their guts to us.
Yeah.
And like
yeah,
an hour, hour and a half of doing their face. You just know all their business.
Absolutely. Some things you want to know and some things you don't want to know.
Right. Okay. I love this question because it's going to make me know if you're like adventurous or if you're out here experiencing life. But when mm-hmm. is the last time that you did something for the first time? Do you have any new experiences recently?
Ooh. The last time I did something for the first time, that's a tough one. The last time I did something for the first time. Oh, the last time I did something for the first time is that I took my grandkids skating and I had not been on skates probably since my teen years. Mm-hmm. And I was well into my adult life, and pair of skates. And I put them on and had them on for about 5 minutes after I had to catch onto one of my grandkids. I pulled them down on the ground and we both fell down. I fell out laughing and I took those skates off. I had enough of skating in 5 minutes because I was like, oh God, I don't want to break anything. Right. Let me get out these skates. I'm in the wrong industry to be skating.
I know that's right. I know how to skate, but I'm like also afraid of like falling and hurting myself. Cause I'm like, I'm a little bit older. I'm not going to bounce back the way I would normally bounce back, like if I was a teenager or in my 20s or something. So
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I thought about. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, oh, I'm going to skate with them. And I, you know, that went in my head, in my mind. I put the skates on and went right back out, you know, after I took a fall. So luckily I didn't hurt myself.
Yeah. At least you tried. Now, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the last one, if you weren't a makeup artist, educator, beauty brand owner, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
I probably would be in social work because I just enjoy helping people and helping them see themselves in a better light. So I probably would be doing something where I'm actually working with people, trying to help inspire them, inspire them getting into, you know, whatever they feel could be their life's work.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Just still dealing with people, encouraging them. Yeah. I like that. Thanks for sharing. That's the end of the icebreakers. You can breathe.
Look. That's really good.
Thank you. So I would love to just jump into it. So by the time that this interview airs, the Color Purple movie will be out already. I would have seen it probably like twice by this time. But I just want to start there, like makeup department head for the Color Purple movie. Like, how did that even come about?
Wow. You know, how did that really come about? You know, it's so interesting. I think at the time when I actually got called about interviewing for the Color Purple, you know, during that time frame, I had an agent at the time, and I think my agent actually pitched me to them, and that's how it initially started. Uh-huh. And from that experience of her pitching me, you know, I was able to get on to interview with them, and you know, and it turns out that, you know, all the components and all the people that were involved. I think with the director, you know, the interesting thing about, you know, some film projects versus television sometimes, you know, film projects, many times it's the director that really chooses the team that they want. Mm-hmm. Television is a little bit different. So I had an initial conversation with the line producer, you know, and that went on to, you know, me talking to getting them, making an appointment for me to meet with, you know, the director, I guess, after they interviewed many people. Yeah. And they usually narrow it down, to, you know, the top two or three people. And you know, you interview with the director, for film.
Yeah. And like, what kind of questions are they asking?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I think sometimes it's just really a personality thing. Like they want to know, well, it's not just a personality thing, but the first thing that they want to know is, number one, if they're able to communicate well with you. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, from that experience, you know, generally when I get the opportunity to interview for jobs, or if I get the information that I'm going to be interviewing, I always request a script. Or if you have an agent, you know, many times your agent will request a script before you even meet with the director or with, you know, whoever you're going to meet with, so that at least you can have information based on what the movie is about. Because even though it was a remake, it wasn't really a remake. It's a remake that's reimagined, basically. Yeah. So it's very different in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. So I did the initial interview. Then you talk about, what the movie is about and what, you know, and you pretty much listen. Like I was listening to Blitz who's the director of The Color Purple, you know, in terms of what his vision was, because it really is about what his vision is.
Yeah.
You know, so after the initial conversation, you get all that information. And then, you know, you go and you wait. Mm-hmm. And I think for the, and for The Color Purple, I had a total of 3 interviews, with the director,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to talk about, you know, after, I guess they really narrowed it down to who he was really looking at, mm-hmm. you know, you go for another interview and you get another, you know, round of questions. And then maybe this time when you get to this interview, the second interview, you know, like you come back, like I came back with ideas about various things throughout the script, mm-hmm. to share with him. So you talk more and more again, you know, and then I think the third interview, you know, I came back with mood boards and this whole thing, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, show him visually.
Yeah. Paint the picture.
Yeah. Paint a picture for him in terms of what I thought, you know, each main character would look like, for the film, for the reimagined film. So that was a part of it. I know that, you know, within The Color Purple, like he wanted aging, but it was really important for him, you know, our director, not to really age. He wanted Black people to age like we age, you know, like I'm 60, right?
Okay.
So he didn't want, you know, how sometimes you see us age on shows and in movies.
So dramatic.
It's so dramatic. And he really didn't want that. He really wanted the skin to still bleed through. He wanted the naturalness of, you know, the skin to look natural. So the aging was very kind of minimal.
Yeah.
It was really just to enhance just a little bit. So that was something that he was very, very strict on in terms of what he wanted. And we did a test. He liked what he saw. You know, so they're not aged dramatically. So following, you know, his lead on that. So we were able to do that. As you can imagine, in this day and time, you know, everybody has tattoos. I mean, oh my God, when I tell you, you know, I've never done a show where we had to cover hundreds and hundreds of tattoos.
Wow.
You know, so I, you know, so part of the thing is that I had to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this in a timely manner? You know, I ended up ordering some product from the UK, you know, mm-hmm. that we could use that was, you know, water resistant, rain resistant, sweat resistant,
wow.
And that could be airbrushed on pretty fast. You know, so it was a lot that went into really doing this movie in terms of, you know, not just that you're doing something that's already been established out there and people already have a mindset in terms of what they think it should look like, or,
right.
you know, and of course you're going to have your critics and then you're going to have people, you know, that can kind of understand that it's something that's different.
Mm-hmm. Does that make you nervous at all? Because it is a reimagining of the film. Does it make you nervous how it's going to be perceived?
Well, you know, I guess the thing that I've learned over the years is that I just go into it, you know, making sure that I've hired the best team to support what my vision is and what the director's vision is and what the vision is for the project. I don't necessarily think about what people are going to think about it, because you're going to have, you know, people that are going to love it, and you're going to have people that are going to talk high about it, and then you're going to have people that are going to break it down. I mean, that's just the nature of living in life. You're never going to be able to, you know, make everybody happy. So yeah. I don't necessarily think about that. I think about if I'm able to make, you know, the team that has given me the opportunity, if they're happy at the end of the day, then I'm happy. You know, yeah. if my director's happy, the producers are happy, you know, the actors are happy with what you've helped them also create, because I think that by what you pour into the actors is also helping them to get into character.
Absolutely.
You know, so all those things go into, you know, all those things play a part in being a department head. It's not just about, you know, helping to create the vision from your story point, because you're also a storyteller mm-hmm. when it comes down to that. And your storytelling is through the application of makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing that people don't understand sometimes is that I know on many of the days where we had dancers, you know, up to 200 people, over 200 background, you know, we got to make sure that their facial hair is cut properly and
wow.
that, you know, they don't have on fake nails and plugging ear holes from earrings and nose holes from nose rings and putting, you know, covering tattoos. And then at the end of the day, breaking all that stuff down, taking it off and starting over again the next day. You know, for example, one of my lead actors had a full sleeve tattoo every day covering that up, you know,
Sir, so there's just a chop lot. The arm off at this point, like just what chop it off. I said, just chop the arm off.
Yeah. Well, you'd like to do that, but listen, you can't really do that, you know, so, you know, being in production, you got to figure out the best way to handle all those things, right? Mm-hmm. In a timely manner, because time is money.
Absolutely.
You know, so I guess you were asking me, do I, you know, get nervous and think about what people are going to say? You know, I think it's natural to get nervous, but I don't really let that deter me. I just do what I've been willed to do within the job. And mm-hmm. you just pray and hope for the best. And that's all you can do once you do it. I think as a makeup artist, I only have so much control. You know, you can do something fantastic. Exactly. And then when lighting hits it, it looks horrible.
Exactly.
You yeah. know that, right?
I absolutely know. Because I used to feel the same way about just watching certain things on TV until I started working on certain TV projects. And I'm like, I know that makeup did not look like that when I did it. Now it looks crazy when it's on. So now I totally get it. But when it comes to hiring your team, the team that you chose to hire for the film, how did you go? Like, what exactly were you looking for in the people that you hired? Was it like a relationship thing that you had already formed with people and you bought them on? Or did you have to go out and like actually find who you needed?
That's a very good question. Well, I actually, had relationships with everybody that I decided to hire.
Okay.
And I often hire based on what the job is. Many times I'm looking for, you know, skill set. I'm mm-hmm. looking for, you know, demeanor and personality. I'm looking for integrity, you know, with people mm-hmm. and I'm just looking for all around excellence in a person. When I bring teams together, you know, it's important to also understand how to put teams together that can thrive and work well together. Mm-hmm. And I like to say that I really have the ability of just plucking people out and kind of knowing everybody's strengths. I guess as a department head, that's something that I pay attention to when I work. Even when I have people working in background, I always watch people, you know, I listen to people. And I just, you know, try to see what their skill sets are, you know, specifically to The Color Purple. I knew on that film that I wanted to have a diverse team, you know, so, you know, I had myself, you know, which is older in, you know, in the game. And then I, you know, brought in Ngozi. Mm-hmm. I brought her in and I had worked with Ngozi before. I know her mother-in-law, Debbie. So, mm-hmm. you know, I spent time working with them in background and on their shows that they've done. Right. So I knew her. Mana Davila was another person that I brought in because of the way he does certain things. You have to look also at the talent that you have, mm-hmm. You know, as well. And I kind of like to have everybody represented. Like I said, you know, we had some young people, younger talent, you know, that were out there, you know, and so you just want to try and be representative of what's needed for the show, first of all. So yeah, there's a lot of thought process that goes into hiring the right team for the right job, you know, for the right job. It's important because not everybody is going to flow and fit on every show. So I'm not one of those people that every show I have the same team.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, you know, there's often, you know, that I do hire you know, sometimes I may hire the same person on two or three, you know, shows down the road like that. But it really depends on what the script calls for.
Yeah. How long were you all filming for, like from start to finish? Like the day y'all started and then the day it wrapped was the entire.
I think we shot for about 4 months, and then the show ended. And of course, they came back to do reshoots. And of course, I wasn't available when they came back to do reshoots. Neither was Ngozi. She wasn't available. Mylene wasn't available. Manny was available, and Manny actually went back to do. I think they had like maybe a week long. Shoot of reshoots, which he ended up department heading that. Okay. And of course he brought in, you know, a team of people, you know, that he needed to bring in to help with aging and stuff like that. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. They called me. And of course I was able to, get Manny on as the department head for the reshoots.
Okay. This is incredible. I'm really so excited to have seen the movie already. I'm just joking. I'm really excited to see the movie.
Because a movie.
The first one is just so iconic. And right. When I saw the trailer, I was like, because first of all, I didn't even know that Another Color Purple was coming out. So when I saw the trailer, it was just so well done that it really makes you want to see the movie. Like it really makes you, like, what do you hope that people take away from it? Just the reprise and the new creativity that's being brought to it.
Well, you know, I hope that people walk away with inspiration and inspired to be able to go out, you know, in their own lives and, you know, create, you know, I think throughout the run of the movie, you just really see the boldness of the women in the movie. And I think that is inspiring. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm hopeful that people are just inspired by it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it too, because I follow Blitz on Instagram, and I follow him because I saw him perform like some years ago. One of my friends was like a drummer for him, and he came to DC and he performed at the Howard Theater. So I've just been following him, you know, on Instagram ever since then. The creativity of the show was already amazing. So I'm really curious to see like his creativity as a director for a film of this magnitude.
Oh, let me tell you, people are going to be blown away. Blitz is, I love him dearly. He is definitely a visionary. And I think that what he's done, you know, for the project, what he did for the project is really going to be inspiring for people. He definitely inspired me in regards to, you know, following what his vision was. And like I said, wanting to see us in our natural form, you know, he's incredible. I mean, there were days where he would sit on set playing his guitar and, you know, he's just, he also is an artist. Like he paints, and he's crazy talented.
All around creative.
So to have the opportunity to be in that brilliance was really awe inspiring for me.
Yeah. Oh, great. I already know that this is going to definitely be nominated for an Emmy, but I want to know about your other Emmys that you were nominated for. Like, what were they for? And like, when did that happen?
I actually got nominated for an Emmy in 2022 for the First Lady TV series. And that had Michelle Pfeiffer in it, Viola Davis, and Gillian Anderson. Of course, they have their own personals. However, you know, when you take on a period project, there is so much research that goes into that. And that particular project was a lot of work. What I mean by, you know, a lot of work is that we were dealing with a director that was very specific about what she wanted. The director herself, Susanna Byers, she had just been nominated for a show called a movie called The Undoing. I think on that particular show, about maybe six or seven departments got fired. It was a really a tough show. So I was just happy that my department was one of the few departments that lasted on that show. But we had to go from the 1800s up until 2007 with the recreation of what people look like from that time frame. So again, you know, dealing with period, it required a lot of research in terms of what went on in the late 1800s, you know, 1900s, the looks, the facial hair, you know, and just really recreating looks from that time period. Like I said, it was a lot of research. And I think that the makeup that we did on that was so beautiful, you know, with the skin glowing and the lips, and the nice brows, and, you know, all the way down to the 70s. We covered the 70s, you know, the mutton chop sideburns and mustaches, facial hair. So it was a lot of detail work on that. So I'm so happy we got nominated for an Emmy for that. But of course, it was a team effort. All the shows that I do, it seems to be big shows. So I always try to hire, again, I can never stress how important it is to have a good team.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I know you're in Atlanta, right?
I'm in Atlanta.
So would you say like Atlanta is a good spot to be now if you want to get into TV and film and get some work?
Well, here's the thing. This is what I always say, because so many people, you know, I guess from having my education platform, the TV and Film Makeup Academy, a lot of people want to get into television and film. But I like to tell people that, you know, it's not just about painting somebody pretty. I think that you can live anywhere in the world, to be honest with you. Okay. If you understand your work and your worth, and you are educated to the point of being able to do whatever is required for you, you know, within television and film, you can work from anywhere, okay, honestly, you know, but it's really just kind of training yourself and understanding that it's a business. It's not just about painting a beautiful face and calling it a day. You know, when you want to call yourself a TV and film makeup artist, then, you know, you want to know how to do everything, because at the end of the day, even though you may not end up doing everything, it's important for you to understand. Like, I'm not a huge effects person. I can do effects, you know, however, it's, you know, I'm not a huge effects person, but I can sit down, I can tell you how to put it on, I can tell you how to put it off, I can show you how to paint it. You know, all those things are really important.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a serious question for you. You trust me, right? Yes? I heard you say yes, right? You heard them say yes, right? Okay, listen. If you said yes and you have a product or service-based business that you want to expose to a loyal and engaged audience, then consider letting me share your business here on the Friends of Beauty podcast. Studies have shown that podcast listeners tend to trust the host, making the advertising messages more authentic and credible. And my favorite part, which a lot of people don't know, is the longevity. Unlike traditional ads that have a limited lifespan and disappear after your budget has been exhausted, my podcast episodes are available indefinitely. This means that your ad will continue to reach new listeners long after the initial episode airs. And you already know my consistency is off the chain. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And as the Friends of Beauty podcast continues to grow, your brand will continue to reach a new audience. That's how it works here. So don't wait any longer. I want to expose your brand to my friends in beauty. All you have to do is click the link below with all of the details and we can make it happen. Anyways, let's go ahead and get back to the episode.
Department head to kind of understand. So, you know, Atlanta's a great place, but I always say to people that you have to educate yourself. You know, you have to get educated and continue your education, and surround yourself with people that you can grow from as well. Like, I hire people that they're not only, you know, learning from me, I'm learning from them as well. You know, I like to hire people that I can pour into, but I'm also getting something in return from them too. I always learn, you know, from my teams. So I'm always excited about that. And I like to tell people to just be open, stay open, you know, and be able to take constructive criticism. So is Atlanta the place to be? If you're talented and you've educated yourself and you continue your education, you can live anywhere and work in the industry.
Yeah. Is there like a big difference in the technique, like makeup technique, when you're doing TV and film versus just a regular client? Are you still going through the process of like prepping the skin? And would you like do the same type of technique? I don't know.
Well, you know what? It really depends. I think in terms of prepping the skin, you're going to prep the skin either way. You know, if you're working, if you're doing a personal client, or if you're doing a client that's going to be in TV and film. However, I will say this with the television and film industry, you know, when actors come in the mornings, you know, sometimes you're doing extra stuff like doing iPads or things of that nature. But generally they come in, like a lot of the actors, they come in, they're already, you know, particularly female actors, they come in, they already have their cream on their face. You know, many of them show up with their iPads on. Of course, you bought the iPads for them, but they'll put them on before they come to work. So it's kind of different in that sense. When you're dealing in television and film, like you're on a clock, you're on a time clock. When people show up, you know what I mean? They may have 45 minutes in your chair. So, you know, so a lot of the prep stuff happens either before they come, and sometimes it happens when they're there. It just depends. It's different for everybody.
Got you. Do you have any tips on like nailing continuity? Because I know, well, especially with TV and film too, everything is not shot continuously. You might have, you know, done the makeup for this scene this day, and then maybe a week, like you said, they had to come back and do, you know,
a week later or two things. Or so a month like, later.
It's like as an artist, you got to be able to look at this and be like, okay, I got to match this other artist's work, or maybe match your own work that you've already done. How do you like nail it or get as close?
That's called sync. That's called a program called Sync on Set. That's how you nail it.
Is it like a program now?
Yeah, there's a program that's called Sync on Set. And, you know, and that's how you kind of load your continuity in there so that you can pull it up when you need it straight away.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that's back in the old days. You know, we still take pictures, put them on a ring, and they're sitting over there in the binder, or, you know, but it's changed so much over the years. And, you know, specifically when you're doing television, or even when you're doing a film too, you can shoot one scene today. We were watching something last night on TV, and I looked, you know, and it was a direct cut from one scene to the next scene. The guy had a big scar on his face, a big burn on his face, and went from one scene to the next scene, and the burn changed in terms of where it was. You know what I mean? So, but they could have shot, even though it was a direct, they could have shot the first scene 3 weeks ago,
you know,
and then they tie it all together. That's why it's important to kind of understand, you know, the continuity of it and doing your breakdowns and knowing, you know, what day is certain things are working. There's a whole way in which it is for you to be able to track your work when you're working on a TV project or a film project. And it's important for you to really be clear about continuity so that you don't have things like that I saw happen on this show that I was watching last night. Yeah. You know, so somebody in the thing wasn't, you know, paying attention, I guess, to the continuity, or, you know, there's so many factors though. And I guess that's why when I see people and see things on television and I'm looking and it may look crazy looking or whatever, I try to always give those people grace, because you never know what the conditions were. Mm-hmm. You never know. I've worked with a, you know, certain, you know, producer and director out here that shall remain nameless, that they don't even give you time to go in and touch a person up. Like they literally just keep rolling. That's how quick they shoot. Right. You know, so you never know what the situation is. You never know if lighting was bad. You know, it can really affect the way our work looks. So
I've definitely caught things before myself watching certain shows. I'm like, her lips were glossy, just there now is matte, or just seeing like just certain things, like even the jewelry sometimes, like something be tilted, and then the next thing is like that. So I catch certain things.
Yeah, because you're in the business, you know, and then, you know, and then some people are paying attention to stuff like that. I'm the worst. That's why I always say to people, you know, try to avoid using certain things in certain scenes. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you don't want to go from a red lipstick to, say, a pink lipstick. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's things that you have to just be aware of. And if you have a good script supervisor, hopefully they're watching continuity, you know, and hopefully, you know, they're going to point out that something's different. But like I said, I try to give people grace because you never know what the conditions are. You never know what the situation is. So I try not to judge based on how something looks on TV or on film.
That's so true. Me too. I understand it now. So is the sync on set thing like just something that you plug the pictures into so people could pull it up? Like, what is that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what that is.
But I just be getting camera phone pictures like, do this. Like, I'm like, okay.
Well, you know what? People, you know, that's the way that people take pictures now with continuity is, you know, with their iPad or with their phone. You know, but it's definitely, and sync on set is just one program. There are numerous programs that you can use. Mm-hmm. However, you know, on set, that is one of the most common ones when you're doing episodic television or TV, because TV moves so much faster. Like literally they give you time to do nothing. So, you know, so you have to be prepared, you mm-hmm. know, and have people like I, it's very specific. I break it down in terms of who's doing what. So I have one person that may be doing, you know, every department head is different, you know, but I structure my department to where nobody's overloaded with work. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and we all can jump in and do certain things, but it's very specific as to who's doing this. It's very specific as to who's doing that. And then, you know, sometimes you have to jump in and help, yeah. You know, so it's television. You have to be very organized and very structured with the way that you do things.
Gotcha. You did mention your the TV and Film Academy. What exactly are you teaching in there?
Well, it's the TV and Film Makeup Academy mm-hmm. that's here in Atlanta. I generally do small classes, but I have an intro class to television and film. So, you know, a person can come spend a week with me and they get training on how to understand color theory. You know, what kind of etiquette they're supposed to have on set. I go a lot over the business side because so many people get in the business and they don't even understand how to fill their paperwork out properly. They don't understand how to go in and find out, you know, what their rate is going to be or how to do a bruise, you know, how to do a basic bruise. And so these are the things that I teach in the week-long class. That class is for people that may be already working in the business and they're not comfortable, you know, understanding how to lay on a mustache. Mm-hmm. So I train on basic things that you should know day one when you show up on set as a professional television and film makeup artist, because like I said before, it's not just about painting a pretty face. What if somebody comes up to you and say, well, you got to put a bruise on this person, you know, then you are expected to know how to do that. That's something that is very basic within the television and film industry. Mm-hmm. How to lay on a mustache is something that's very basic. Day one, a person should understand how to do that. What kind of glue to use, you know, if you have to put a beard on, you know, cut up a beard and put it on a, you know, lay it on a black guy really quickly, you know, that's something that you should really understand how to do. These are basic things. So I teach that class. That's a week-long class. Also, starting the first quarter of 2024, I'm going to be doing department head classes because I've had such a big request for that. So we're going to walk through, you know, the department head structure in terms of what a department head does. You know, how to structure their department, how to hire their department, you know, how to negotiate, how to do, you know, all these things are things that a department head should know day one when they are department heading, you know, conflict resolution, you know, how do you deal with somebody if you have a political hire, you've been forced to hire this person and they come in and they're lazy. You know, mm-hmm. how do you handle those kind of scenarios? You know, so starting that next year, also going to be offering a key class as well for people to learn how to be a key, you know, because the key is generally the department head's right hand, like on The Color Purple. Ngozi was my right hand, like she could run that show. If something were to happen to me, like clockwork. She could have picked that show up and kept going.
Yeah.
You know, so it's critical, you know, when you hire people in certain positions that they know how to run a show if something were to happen to you. So I always consider that too when I'm hiring, you know, for teams. And I want my teams to, I want for my team what I want for myself.
Yeah, this sounds so great. I'm going to leave all the links for it down below because it's a lot of people who ask me. I wouldn't consider myself like a TV and film makeup artist. I do reality TV every now and then. So
That's
it's
good.
Not like scripted and I have to, you know, but people ask me about getting into TV and film a lot. I just had somebody ask me recently. So I'm going to send her your page, tell her to sign up for your courses because this is incredible. But this question just popped in my head when you were talking about, you know, choosing the right team and conflict resolution and all those things. So when it comes to the talk of diversity and inclusion or lack thereof on set, like who do we have to thank for that? Is it the makeup department heads that's hiring the people or is it like the producers, directors that are kind of letting people slip through the cracks that don't really qualify?
Well, you know what? It varies. You know, like I'm usually, you know, like, for example, I just got called to do a show next in 2024. You know, so I'm generally the first call. And as a department head, a Black department head or a department head, I hate to say Black department head or white department head. I think the thing that about diversion and I mean, diversity and inclusion, I've seen it gradually changing. And I have to say that, you know, specifically in the hair arena, I think that when, she escapes me right now. Larry does her hair. Gabrielle Union.
Oh, okay.
I think when Gabrielle came out about her hair and, you know, and the, I think she ended up making a big thing about, you know, some experiences that she had had on set with her hair and, you know, that along with all these movies and documentaries now that are coming out about the problems that Black people have had on sets.
Yeah.
That's making a difference in terms of them speaking up about it. You know, whether it's a Black man coming in and he, you know, we're not able to get somebody to cut his hair, you know, that has definitely changed because I know with our union 798, they've opened it up for barbers now. Barbers are able to, you know, be able to get in the union so that they can get their pension and their welfare and their dental and, you know, and the benefits that come along with that. So I can't say that it's been one particular person. It's been a collective of people speaking out, especially about hair, because the thing that I've noticed over the years is that with makeup, if you're like my complexion or lighter, you know, somebody else could probably do your makeup and get away with it. And they always use red lipstick when they don't know what to do. They always put red on the Black girls, right?
Okay.
But over the years, as we know, there, even though I have a red lipstick line,
right, it's easy, but, like classic red,
but, you know, I would find that was the fallback color for a lot of girls back in the day that really didn't know how to, you know, properly do our skin. Mm-hmm. They would always pull out a red lipstick to go on the Black girl. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think over the years, you know, people have learned better.
Yeah.
I've known in the past where I've been on sets where somebody comes in and they see me and they're Black, they're happy because they're like, oh my God, there's somebody here that knows how to work with my skin.
Yeah.
You know, now let me be clear, you know, just because you're Black sometimes does not necessarily mean that you know how to work with Black
exactly.
skin.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing with hair, you know, so it's really about, you know, people really just learning how to do what they need to do, you know, for the talent that's showing up. I've been on shows where I've done many shows where I'm, you know, the Black girl that's on the trailer and the whole cast is white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? I've had people look at me side-eyed because they think that I can't do their makeup.
Right.
So it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the good thing is to always, if you don't know something, try to find out before it's time for you to do it.
Mm-hmm. And they've made so many improvements. I saw recently with the contracts and everything, even if people do have to come to set and do their own hair and makeup, they'll get compensated for it. And like all types of improvements are being made.
Absolutely. And that's a blessing. It really is, you know, but I love the fact that, you know, there's, you know, companies out there that are fighting to do, you know, for diversity and inclusion, you know, but I really would love to understand how does that work? Because I've seen people fighting for that, you know, and sometimes they're, you know, utilizing people that really don't understand how to, they don't really, well, here's the thing about TV and film. It's very different than working, say, doing, like a, you know, a beauty thing, like a press. Uh-oh, hold on. It said my internet. Can you see that? Connection is upset. The thing
like
about it
like
is that,
or something like that,
you know, for people that are working within television, film, I think it's important to have people that work in that genre, you know, to speak about it, you know what I'm saying, or to speak to corporations about it, because that's what it is that they do, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very different than, say, somebody that is an influencer, or you know, that's on Instagram, or that's you know, they have a big following over here. Yeah. You know, so it's a very different kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that makes sense what I'm saying.
It makes sense because it would be coming from a different place. They could speak to the actual experience and what actually needs to be done if they're already in it.
Yeah, but when you were asking the question about who kind of makes that decision, like I said, I try to have a diverse team, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't, but I work on those that are diverse. I work on just one type of show. It's important as a makeup artist or as a hair person to have diversity in your work. You know what I mean? Your resume should speak to diversity. It shouldn't just be that, you know, you look on your resume and all you got is one type of work, you know. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't show versatility, you know, to me. So it's important to have everything represented on your resume.
Yeah,
you're a lot more marketable when it's time for you to ask for a raise.
Okay, absolutely. Where are you from, Carol?
I'm from Florida, born and raised in Florida, in a little town, Winter Haven, Florida. Lived in that, and well, grew up in Winter Haven, and ended up working in Orlando and lived in Orlando for about 20 plus years before coming to Atlanta. I had no thoughts about moving here. I came here to work for three projects. A friend of mine was a department head at the time at a network here. And she called me to come in and fill in for somebody for 3 weeks while they went on vacation. Well, 3 weeks ended up being 3 months, then 3 years. And then after that, I was like, okay, I maybe eventually the company eventually said to me, keep putting you up. So you know,
make what, a decision. What's gonna be. Yeah, what you doing?
Yes, so I ended up getting an apartment here first. And I don't know, when I came to Atlanta, I did one project and it's literally, it has just never ended. I mean, I've been very fortunate, you know, to work for many years in different aspects with different companies. And like I said, I always strive to be inclusive on my resume in terms of doing things that, you know, I just want to be considered a great makeup artist. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can roll in any circle.
Yeah.
Right.
How did your early interest in makeup start? What made you want to become a makeup artist?
I worked, well, when I think I was maybe 17, I got a job working at a department store in Florida called Moss Brothers. It was an upscale department store. I worked in the dress shop there, you know, selling clothing. That didn't last very long because when I found out over in the cosmetics department that I could make more money by working over there because you got commission. Mm-hmm. So I applied for a job in cosmetics and got hired. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Every 3 months you had a new release. They would, you know, train you and send you places. It was a fun time. That is what initially got my mind thinking about makeup, but still not ever knowing that I could have a career in makeup, because where I came from, I had never even heard of anybody doing makeup for TV, you know, yeah. So I wasn't aware that that was even a thing, you know. But, you know, after that, I went to work for a doctor for about 6 months. I was his personal secretary. Deciding to go to school to do hair because I was like, you know what, and where I could have a, you know, a career, I can do my own shop, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what my mindset was, is that I would open up my own salon. Yeah. So I started calling. I cold called Walt Disney World and realized when I called them, you know, I was calling trying to find out if they had, you know, I knew that they had those parades out there and they had entertainers. And I was like, let me just see. I called, cold called out there, ended up getting an interview. Of course, you had to be licensed. I had at this got my cosmetology and barber's license.
Nice.
Ended up getting a job working at Walt Disney World.
That's so cool.
And that's really where I really started getting the training for television and film. I think this was like in 1989 or 88 or 80 something. Mm-hmm. And they trained me along with like a group of like 15 other women or other people. It wasn't just women, on how to do makeup for TV and film, because this was during the time that they were going to build MGM Studios at Walt Disney World.
Wow.
So it was just God, you know what I mean? It was a divinely orchestrated thing. Like, I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. So God knew. And that's really how I got my start. I you know, got trained over there working on wigs and doing makeup and the whole thing. And eventually ended up getting hired over at Universal Studios to head up the Nickelodeon network when they came from New York. They opened up Nickelodeon, you know, offices there. I ended up getting hired to work with this guy, Mark Summers. He did a show called Double Dare. And really, that's just the rest is history. I mean, that's really how I got, you know, my training.
That's really incredible. What I'm realizing is like everything is just like a snowball effect. You just start one thing and then it just keeps going and going. You just keep on riding the wave, really.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really cool how you worked in the makeup department, you know, you was in the cosmetics department. Now you have your own makeup line, Kara Rasheed Beauty. Was this your first attempt at doing a product line?
Well, you know what's so interesting? It wasn't my first attempt. I actually ended up getting contracted to open up I took over a salon on that was at the SeaWorld and in one of the Marriott properties. So I had that contract for 5 years. They went from having like two people working there. And I think I had a staff when I ended, I ended up doing like 5 years there with 4.5 years there with them. And I went from after I took it over, I kind of redid everything. We went from myself, my partner, and like maybe one other person, we grew to about 15 people over a 4.5 year period. So mm-hmm. It was a full service salon and spa. We did massage, we did facials, nails, and it was connected to SeaWorld. So we would get all of that business, you know, from people traveling in and staying in the hotels. That was a wonderful experience. So during the time that I had that business in the hotel, I did a custom blend makeup line. Oh. So I would custom blend foundations for the ladies that would come there with the football teams and, mm-hmm. It was incredible. So I did that for, like I said, about 4.5 years. So it wasn't my first time. I also got contracted to work for the Home Shopping Network. Well, they hired my company,
Oh, that's so cool.
to come in and set up the hair and makeup department. That operation ran 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so I was, given the contract out of all these people. I ended up winning a 1 year contract, and then it ended up being like a 3 year contract. They renewed the contract after the second year and the third year. And again, I had about 14, 15 hair and makeup people that I hired, to work for my company at the time. It was called Network Beauty Incorporated. So I ordered, had to get makeup for all the on air, the on
I
air.
guess broadcasters,
Well,
correspondents.
the on air, what do you call it? The they're the people that's talking about the product on the
I
online.
guess the
But we
talent.
were, the online, the guest host, I mean the host that they had on Home Shopping Network. So we were responsible. I was responsible for making sure that all of the celebrity guests that came on, that their hair and makeup was done by my team, or some of them had personals that they would bring with them. But we were responsible for the overall look of the entire Home Shopping Network for, I had that contract for 3 years. So again, I did a lot of makeup at that time. So I've been involved in makeup. My current launch, of course, the lip trio that I have called the Evolution of Rouge, really, I was inspired while doing the color purple,
Okay.
in terms of coming up with those reds, for this collection, even though it has nothing to do with the color purple. I really got inspired when I was working on that movie because I had to try and figure out what reds to put on, like my main character that I had to do. So I spent so many days mixing reds, trying to come up with the right red to make sure that none of the ladies had on the same red.
Oh,
So
wow.
that's how this launch, that's how this lipstick trio, the Evolution of Rouge, came about. So I was really inspired while doing the movie to come up with that. I felt like that was a good time because I've always wanted to do a line, a lipstick line. But this presented the right time to do it. So,
Yes, perfect timing.
there we have it.
Let's see.
The evolution of
I am
Rouge.
resilient. What does it say? I'm resilient. What's the affirmations?
Yes, the affirmation is I am resilient, right? I am hope and I am inspiration. Which you kind of got that. I kind of got that throughout the evolution of the movie. Of course, you get three little in this beautiful
It's cute.
curated box. These roses out, so it's kind of got the names on it. It's got the names on the bottom of the lipsticks here. I am hope, I am inspiration, I am resilient, because as as women, we're all those things, or
Yes.
any makeup loving person. Were all those things.
Yes, I love that. So how long did the collection take you to develop to find the perfect reds for the collection?
Well, you know what? Actually, yeah, it's called the Evolution of Rouge. I probably have spent about, like, I have been thinking about this for some years, for a couple years. But in order for me to be able to try and get, something, bring something to market around the holidays, I probably took about maybe 7 months, 6 or 7 months to really sit down, but with the idea. And it was a lot of work, to come up with something that I could be happy to put my name on, so while
How's it
I
going so far?
What was that? It's been excellent. I've gotten an excellent response. Of course, and as a woman too, I like affirming who we are. We all in our lives at some point have been inspiring to somebody else. In our lives, I'm sure that some, people have looked upon us, and we've given somebody hope. You know, and one thing that I know, and I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, you know, just with you being able to do what you've done with your platform, you've had to remain resilient.
All the
And so that's why I was like, you know what? I really want to tie something in from the heart. And, you know, and that's how the names of the three shades came about. You know, one shade is, you know, I am hope, is, which is what I'm right now. It's a true red tone, you know, which can go with any skin tone. I also have resilient, which is more of a deep berry color, which is really in now for the fall. Who knew? I didn't even know that, but it's a trend color now for the fall. You know, I am resilient. And then I also have a color called I Am Inspiration, which is an orange red. So they're reds that, like I said, will fit on any makeup loving person.
What do you say to people who feel like everybody can't wear red? Because I had somebody tell me that the other day, and I was like, that's not true. But I would love to know, like, what would you say to somebody since your line is all different variations?
Well, you know what? I think with reds, it's very interesting. Maybe they had a bad experience with the red, and I think you just have to get the right red. And that's what I would say to a person. You just have to get the right red, you know, depending on what your skin tone is, your undertones. It even depends on what color your hair is. And, you know, so anybody could wear a red, you know. Some people don't like very vibrant reds. You know, if you don't like very vibrant reds, then maybe you go into like an orange. You know what I mean? Or more of a subtle red. You know, if you want something that's a little bit demure, then you go with a color like I Am Hope. That's not, it doesn't scream at you, right? So it's really all about finding the right shade of red. And that's why I wanted to do a trio, a color for every single person.
And you were featured in O Magazine. Like, tell me how you felt when that came about, because I was screaming for you.
Well, you know what's so interesting? I really, and this is one of the things that I think I shared with Melissa Hebert, which is a person that really helped me really come up with the theme of my lipstick. She said to me, she knew that I had done, this is my fourth project that I've done on under, you know, where Oprah was one of the producers. You know, I did Henrietta Lacks, you know, with her. I did Greenleaf with her. I did, you know, I've done several, had done
Ooh, that
several
was my
projects with her.
show. Oh my goodness. Green Leaf had me in a chokehold. Oh my God, I love that show. I was so sad when it ended. I was like, and why y'all gotta end it like that? Oh my gosh, but I digress. That was my show.
You are so funny. Yeah, I loved doing that show. That show was really wonderful. But at any rate, I ended up reaching out to one of my contacts over at Oprah's network or one of her team members. And I sent them an email and they responded. You know, send them an email on a particular day. They responded like the next day. And just really, that's how it initially started. You know, and that's why I say to people, you know, don't ever give up on anything in your life that you want to do, because it went from my initial conversations of saying, oh, well, I think it's too late to get into the magazine, you know, but, you know, what about something for next year? Went from that to the main person calling me. I think like maybe that Monday, this is all this so fast. It was like a Thursday and then a Friday and then like a Monday, you know, I got a call. I got an email actually from the main person that really makes the decisions in regards to things that are going to go into Oprah's Favorite Things magazine. And his information was is that we not only want to, you know, feature your lip trio, but we want to feature your story. And so I thought in my mind, that is great, you know, but of course I'm thinking to myself that, you know, they're going to put like a little blurb or something like that. I had no idea it was going to be a full page.
Write a full page about Carol Rashid Beauty.
So, but that's just God's favor. I always, you know, say that I don't go in my life expecting, you know, really anything from anybody. I really, you know, keep myself humble and, you know, and ask, you know, for what I want. And sometimes what you think you want, you know, God has a bigger plan. It's beyond what you can even imagine. Cause I, in a million years, I wouldn't imagine that I would be in a O Magazine article with a full page about my story, about, you know, my life and, you know, and how I got to the place to where I am. Again, I think that's just God's favor. That's the only way that I can really explain that. And I think it's, and I think it's a testament to who I am as a person, you know, because out of the years that I've worked on various projects for Miss O and others, you know, but she's been a producer on many projects that I've had it. And it's always been a good experience, you know what I mean? A professional experience. And I know, you know, for her to approve for me to be in her magazine, you know, you just have to think, you know, to yourself, you know, when you're doing things. And I don't really go out my way to be asking for this or asking for that. I really show up to do the job and to the best of my ability. And I always give 150% and I expect for my team to do the same thing. And people always watch you and you don't even realize.
That's so true.
You know, so, and I say that to say, you know, if I had a, you know, bad reputation or a bad something happen or whatever, I'm sure I would not have shown up in that magazine.
Right. You know, it would have got around.
Exactly. It's just, to, you know, to think about when we do show up, you know, really show up fully and committed to giving. And I think that's just how I move on any project, whether it's an old project or, you know, any project. You know, when people hire me, they know what they're getting.
Yeah.
You know,
is there anything that you still have challenges with or still struggle with personally?
Let's see. In terms of professional or?
Yeah, like just maybe. Because I always tell people there are things that personally can hinder you in business. Like, are there any characteristics that you're still, because like, for, I'll give you examples. Like for me, I already know I probably couldn't be a makeup department head because I'm too nice and I have a hard time with confrontation at this point in my life. So if something did go wrong on set, I'll be like, oh my God, now how I'm about to break this down to the person. So it's like things like that, that I know that I struggle with in my personal life. It could definitely boil over into like business.
I guess when I look at it that way, I know how to separate personal from business. So I can, in those areas, I don't think I struggle. But I think in any leadership type role, you know, you have to be able to separate the personal from the business side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I just have the ability to do that. So I don't struggle in that way. I think one of the things that maybe struggle with is sometimes I just want everything for everybody, you know, and sometimes everybody can't get everything, you know, so me having to like maybe give somebody something and not be able to, you know, give that other person that thing too is difficult for me sometimes, you know. I just like everybody to get everything to a fault. You know, sometimes people don't want to get everything. You know, so, but in terms of leadership, I think in leadership, you kind of learn, like I can separate personal feelings from things and make a decision. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, people don't understand it. And unfortunately, I have to realize that that's really not my issue if they don't understand it, but I'm going to make the best decision for the issue. Right. Mm-hmm. If that's what I'm willed with doing.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Hopefully that questioning, but
sure.
You know, when I think about being a leader and having to lead you know, other people, like one thing that I have to be aware of is being assured that, you know, I'm making the right decision for the right situation. And I'm not always right, you know, however, I really do try to make the right decision at the time for the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you, I mean, you've been in the industry over 30 years, even when you were calling out the dates for the department, I was like, dang, I was probably like 2 years old when you was working in the, in the makeup department, because I'm an 80s baby. But like, what do you consider, or what would you like your legacy to be? Because you have a living legacy right now, because you've done so much. But as far as your contribution to the industry, like, what would you like that to be recognized as?
You know, I want to leave a legacy of trying to make the business side, specifically with makeup people, makeup and hair people as well, because I find that hair people lean on me. You know, if I'm in a, you know, department head position, or when I'm not, I have department heads, I have hair people calling me, asking me about, you know, what they should do about this situation or what they should do about that situation. I'm always giving in that way, but I'd like to see my legacy be one where it empowers people to understand that they can get up and do whatever they want to do, you know, specifically if it's moving in this, in the world of makeup artistry. And I want the industry to be elevated. There was a time back day, you know, like in the, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, where makeup artist credit and hair credits used to be at the top of the list, right? Wow. You'd have your, you know, your DP and your director and all those people, then your costume designer. And then you would have your makeup artist, your makeup designer, your hair designer. They used to be top billing. Well, that's no longer. I don't know why it is like that. Yeah. You know, however, I'd like to see that change, because the thing that people don't realize, makeup and hair people are an integral part of getting these projects done, right? Those people, those actors, they start with us in the morning, right? We're responsible for making sure that they not only look good, that they feel good too. You know, they walk out that trailer, we can make or break a production. If you get that actor in your chair and they're there and you're late getting them out, you know, that can throw off the whole day. So I want makeup and hair people to get the credibility that we deserve, that we've for, you know, so, and I want make us as makeup and hair understand the importance of our roles that we're doing. That's why it's important to be professional and to remain professional and raise the level of excellence in our business. That's what I want to see. That's what I'd love for my legacy to be. I to you earlier, when people hire me, they know that they're getting a professional that's going to be on time, that's going to have no drama, that's going to run that department and watch that budget, that's going to have a great team, that's going to be professional, and that's going to be able to come in on budget and be respected. You know what I mean? So that's what I want for my legacy to be, is for people to know that that's how I rolled in the industry. You know, that when you say my name, you know, you think of excellence, right? And I want other makeup people and hair people to understand what their role is, you know, when they show up on these jobs, and to be representative of that, so that it can just raise the awareness and the thought process in terms of what it is offering. I was on a panel with a producer a few weeks ago, and the producer said, oh, well, I don't, you know, there's two departments that I don't, you know, negotiate their rates. And one of the departments they said was makeup. And I think the other department was the camera department. And the reason that they gave is because, well, they already make so much money. But here's the thing, that I think a lot of people don't realize. The reason that we make the kind of money that we make is the fact of the responsibilities that we have. We're dealing with these actors, even start the project. You know, we got to talk about skincare. We got to figure out what they're allergic to, what they're not allergic to. I mean, there's so many components. You know, you have people coming in that's got, you know, tattoos. You got to cover those up. You got, you know what I mean? You're the doctor. You're the, you know, you're the motivator. You're the, you're the everything person when it comes down to dealing with that talent. So that's why we get paid the money that we get paid. And that's why producers need to be clear about that. So when you ask for your raise, they understand why you're asking.
Right.
You know, but as a makeup or as a hair person, it's important for them to know that for themselves, right? And be able to work with just excellence and professionalism so that it can raise the awareness of what it is that we're bringing.
Right. Because a lot of people don't see how important it is. Because other people don't see how important it is, it's easy for makeup artists to feel like they're not important either, and they don't contribute or, you know, get the recognition that they deserve for the project. So their work or their work ethic might reflect that. But then it also changes the standard of how we're perceived by, you know, the people. So it's just like you got to have excellence all across the board.
Yeah, but we can change that, you know, collectively. And that's why it's important for us as makeup people, makeup, you know, teams or makeup individuals, hair individuals, we've got to start working together to raise the level of excellence across the board, you know, so that when people know that they hire you, you know, you're not coming in with your butt cheeks hanging out and your breast spilling over out your top. And, you know, these are things that, you know, you just have to be aware of, you know, or that we must be aware of, that this is an inappropriate arena. You know, if you want to be treated like a professional, then think about how people used to dress back in the office in the days. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to be treated as a professional, then you have to conduct yourself that way.
So true.
You know, so
yeah.
Long story, long answer.
I love it though. Is there anything else that's coming up next for you that you can share?
Well, I'm in the process of negotiating something right now, but I can't really talk about it right now, but maybe I can come back on the podcast.
Oh, you are welcome to come back anytime you want. This has been incredible. Like, before you go, I asked my guests the same Friends in Beauty rapid fire questions at the end of the show just to get like their advice, their keys to longevity and success. So I'm going to ask you the Friends in Beauty rapid fire questions. Anything that comes to your mind first, you can spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine too.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Patience, collaborating, you know, being open to collaborating, and honesty.
I love that. How do you measure your success?
You know, I measure my success just by being really at peace with wherever I am in the process.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta be at peace. Oh my gosh. What is the best advice you've ever received or a piece of advice that's just always stuck with you?
I think some of the best advice that I've received, I think when I was early on in the business, you know, it was shared with me. I remember this guy, he was such a jack of all trades, I'll say, instead of a jackass, but he was not kind and he was yelling and screaming. And, you know, and I was like, what is wrong with him? And somebody said to me, and I don't think at the time he wasn't even talking to me, but I was just looking at how he was handling somebody. And, you know, and the person, you know, that I was standing with said to me, they said, you know, one thing about this business is that, you know, you're going to have people like that, you know, but the thing that they shared with me that they had learned early on is never to take people, you know, too personally, you know, that it really many times have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I think that was a really great, great piece of advice that I got, even though I didn't think it was really for me at that time. Right. But I brought that on, you know, because I think working in the industry, people can get nasty sometimes, and you just have to realize sometimes maybe their dog this morning or something, God forbid. You just never know where people are.
Yeah.
And so it's learning to not, you know, take people too personally, you know, many times has been a great piece of advice to me. And also it was also shared with me to never stop learning, never stop being open, you know, to the possibilities. And so I've always carried that with me. Like I said, I can learn, but I will be watching anybody do something and say, how do you do that? You know, can you show me, or can you share? Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
What advice would you give to another makeup artist right now who is just not seeing the results that they want out of their business and they're just ready to give up?
Well, first of all, the thing that I'd love to say about, you know, to another artist is that, you know, don't give up. I mean, even if you just pick away at something every single day, so it could be a little something, you know, you just want to continue to work. Consistency is what produces what you want to see, you know, being consistent, remaining consistent, and really believe it in yourself. If you don't understand something, try to learn it, you know, I think that that's always been the, you know, the striving thing for me, not even consciously aware that I was just working towards a goal, I, you know, I remember the time when I would think to myself, I'll be glad when I can department head, you know, or I'll be glad when I can, you know, be a key, or I'll be glad when I tell you, I started at the bottom and worked my way up. Mm-hmm. I've only worked in, you know, makeup, you know, and hair for TV and film. So that's what I'd say is consistency. Mm-hmm. Even if your business is not going the way that you want it to go today, you have to keep plugging at it, because eventually it's going to turn a corner, and it's going to turn a corner. Don't even expect it to turn a corner. Look at you. You won $1 and didn't even going to win it.
I was shook. I'm still shook that I won that money.
How priceless was that? You know what I mean? But you've been putting in the work all these years, but people look up and they think you just appear
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And that's how actors are. Actors would have been working for 20 years and get that big break. And then, you know, and then they become all well-known and people think that they just came out of nowhere, but they've been working for 20 years. Yeah. You know, like I've been working for 4 years, and this year, 2022 was the first time that I was ever nominated for an Emmy. You know what I'm saying? So it takes time.
Yeah.
It's in God's time. You know, it may not be in my time. It may not be in that person's time, but it's in God's timing. You know, when it's time for you, it's time for you.
Yeah. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
It's just a matter of when.
Keep going.
I think everybody chance, everybody gets their, you know, their opportunity. But you have to, you know, hopefully you're prepared when you get your opportunity. I think about, you know, the opportunity when they told me that they were going to, that, you know, my, you know, that I didn't, it wasn't really going to be a play for my lipsticks to go into the magazine, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, no problem. I didn't think about it. It went from that to, can you send us some samples? And literally when I tell you, I had to, like, within 2 or 3 days, you know, get the samples, to write up the paper, you know, do the, you know, the layout. I mean, it was, you know, so when the opportunity knocks, you have to kind of be ready for it, right?
Absolutely.
You have to prepare, you know?
Absolutely. Yep. What is a resource that has helped you or helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends in Beauty community?
What is a resource? You know what? The resource that I have is really getting good people around me. Mm-hmm. Honestly, when I look at, you know, from Melissa to Danny to Travis, I mean, I have people in my circle that I can pick up the phone on. I have people in my circle that I can shoot them an email. So it's really choosing. It's really choosing people that want you to win. Mm. Those people are the biggest thing that I've learned is that the people that you think sometimes is going to be there for you, those aren't the people that's there for you. Mm. It's the people sometimes that you don't expect.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for me, that's been one of the most positive things is having cultivated the right team of people that want to see me win as much as I want to see myself win.
I love that.
I'm sure you've experienced that.
Oh yeah, I love that. And I'm a huge advocate for networking. Friends in Beauty actually started off as networking events. And then I started the podcast because I couldn't get out and talk to people anymore during the pandemic. But it started off as networking. So I love connecting people. I love curating spaces for people to connect, because I know the importance of like building those relationships and getting people around you, like you said, that want to see you win, who actually understand like the nuances of what you're going through and don't think you're being dramatic, you know, when you talk about clients canceling or, you know, not getting booked or, you know, just all the things.
So you started this by groups. I'm trying to understand how did you start your events?
Yeah, I just started hosting networking events, just getting people to come out in the beauty industry to connect with each other. So Friends in Beauty is just like beauty, makeup, hair, models, barbers, photographers. They all come out, estheticians, just in one room just to connect. So I'm about to start, you know, traveling with it. But it's just been in like the DMV area for now.
That is so cool. Congratulations to you. You should be so proud of yourself. Listen, it takes more than a notion to get folks to move their butts anywhere.
It does. It does. I'm enjoying it.
People do not want to leave their, people like me, they don't want to leave their house.
When they do, they're glad that they did. So I'll be pushing people to get out their comfort zones, get out and meet some people face to face.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is so wonderful. Congratulations to you. Look at where you are, you know?
Thank you. Appreciate it. So the last one, and I'm gonna let you go because I talked your head off. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is personally.
Okay. My name is Carol Rashid of CarolRashidBeauty.com. The key to longevity for me has been, I think the key to longevity is just never giving up, you know, just consistency, you know.
I agree. Before you go, please share like your social media, website, however you want people to connect with you, purchase some products, check out your classes, whatever you want to share.
Please check out my lip trio called The Evolution of Rouge. I am resilient. I am hope. I am inspiration. That can be found at CarolRashidBeauty.com. That's CarolRashidBeauty.com. I also have the TV and Film Makeup Academy. That's TV and the word AND. FILM Academy, academy.com. I have a lot of great classes coming up in 2024. If you want to be a department head, I'm your girl. And also I can be found on Instagram at Carol_Rashid, R-A-S-H-E-E-D, Carol_Rashid, R-A-S-H-E-E-D.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for this. I'm just like so happy to finally have met you after following you for so long and having this conversation. It's really been such a pleasure and I really appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.